Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now, Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. And of course, very popular Pick 6 podcast, which you can find on iTunes. Pete, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
What's up, fellas? How are you guys?
Great, man.
We're doing well. The Giants moving on from McAdoo the other day, going against what they said a few weeks ago and waiting till the end of the season. Who do you think their top target's going to be to fill that job?
Well, it'll be somebody who won't rock the boat because that's not the Giants' way. I would think it would be somebody who has experience as a head coach already. And you know what? I would look at Josh McDaniels first and foremost. And I be honest with you, I thought Josh McDaniels was a complete fail in his first stint as a head coach in Denver. He was given too much power. He was too arrogant. He was tried to be something he wasn't, which was Bill Belichick. And I think he's learned from that. And I think the second time around, he's going to be a significantly better NFL coach. I think he's a smart, bright guy. He realized his mistakes. He will change them, and he will be a much better coach second time around. So if I'm the Giants, I would go after Josh McDaniels.
So the biggest mistakes he made the first time around was just being too arrogant?
No, too arrogant, too much control.
I mean, and
took over the building and acted like he was Belichick, and you're not. If you don't have skins on the wall, and I've seen it happen many a time over the years with these coaches, if you don't have skins on the wall and you try to be that guy who does have skins on the wall, you know how players are, Brian. They look at you and go, hey, dude, at least win something before you start acting like that.
True. Now, we were just discussing coaching hot seats in the NFL. Dirk Cutter, his name comes to mind. What are the prospects of him returning?
We know they have, they're itchy to make changes down there quickly. And we've seen that in the past. We saw it when he took the job and got the job with Lovie Smith being run out of there. So I would think if they have a meltdown the next 4 weeks that he will be in great trouble and they will make a change. Now, the easy thing to sit there and say, oh, they'll bring back John Gruden, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I don't know if you want to take that route again. And the other thing is why would John want to leave the booth? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a comfortable lifestyle, making a lot of money to go become a head coach again, and all that pressure and all the time and everything else. I don't know if he'll do it, but they'll probably explore it. But I would imagine Dirk Cutter is on that list as well.
Are there a lot of names on that list, in your opinion, this year? Is this going to be like a total bloodbath the Monday after Week 17?
You know, we asked that question on our podcast just to me and Jason Lockenfora and Nick Costas, and one of the questions was the over-under at 8. The head coaching changes. And I took the over. I mean, I think it's going to be – well, you got to take into account, you know, the Bruce Arians situation in Arizona. Is he going to, you know, maybe walk away after the season and that job will come open? But more than 8 openings. You look at – okay, count them up. I mean, you already got the Giants opening, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have probably Tampa Bay. You have Indianapolis for sure. There's 3 right there. Cleveland might have Cincinnati. I mean, if you know, there's talk that Marvin Lewis goes upstairs and they hire a new coach, maybe even bring back Hugh Jackson. You've heard that one before. What is that, 6 already without even blinking?
Texans?
You know what I mean? And what's that?
Texans?
He might get a pass. See, I think you got to factor in some injury issues. He might get a pass because of the injury. Jake Gruden might get a pass if they flop down to the stretch because of all the injuries. So that's 2 guys that are possibilities, but I think, you know, how about Jason Garrett? I mean, isn't that possible if they don't make the postseason?
No.
You don't think?
Man, that's a yes man. That he's not going anywhere. I don't think you would bring anyone else in there. They have that situation set up exactly how Jerry Jones wants it. No, he's not going to do that.
Yeah, you never know with Jerry, though. I mean, he's the unpredictable wild card in this whole thing. So what do we? Okay, you count the ones we just mentioned. You're up to 10 now.
Well,
right?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Pete.
What about the Titans? If they flop,
Well, they're in first place now in the division. How about the Raiders and Del Rio?
No, I think Jack will stay because he's close with the owner. I think the owner likes him. I think that's another situation like you just mentioned. With if you don't think Garrett's going, then you certainly can't think Jack's going.
Right.
So, Brian, sorry, Pete, go ahead.
No, but it's amazing how everybody's so antsy to run these guys out. I mean, somebody mentioned Vance Joseph to me the other day.
I'm not antsy. We're not antsy. We're just bringing up the
question. That team's the worst team in football right now.
Yeah. Talking about the fan bases and stuff. I mean, does Vance Joseph get fired after a year?
I mean, they are terrible.
I know, but do you fire him after a year?
Probably not.
Is that fair to Vance Joseph? Can you hire him and then your quarterback situation is a mess because you made it a mess and now you're going to fire him? I don't know if Vance Joseph's a great coach or not, but the way the situation has played out, it's unfair to him to ask him to go win games with that quarterback situation being the garbage that it is.
Gio and Jones with Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. Also check him out on the Pick 6 podcast on iTunes. Every time we have Pete on, Brian and Pete get into this argument about Russell Wilson, and Pete's that's like his thing. It's not just Brian, it's a lot of people. But if you pay attention to Pete Prisco and what he puts up on CBSSports.com like I do, you know you can't argue anymore because he wrote this. I have been one of the harshest Wilson critics, always believing he was very good and not among the best. This season, he is proving to be among the best. Brian, you finally have turned the guy. Well, Russell Wilson kind of did, so you can't yell at him about that anymore.
I love you, Pete Prisco.
You do. I know. You ought to put that on tape and just run it over.
No. Well, what has turned you? I look at the guy, and we discussed this the other day after they knocked off the Eagles. No running game to speak of. Offensive line is in tatters. I mean, it's just the Russell Wilson show, and it's a good thing that he got in the best shape of his NFL life and dropped a few pounds because he needs to run for his life.
He does. It's a bad – I mean, let's be honest about it. It's a bad offensive line. I mean, no question about it. But, one thing I want to say, though, I think it's a slight to his weapons outside year in and year out to say they aren't very good. I think Doug Baldwin's a damn good player,
I agree.
By the way.
Yeah.
And I also thought Golden Tate was a damn good player when they were together. And all anybody ever said was he has no receivers. I never bought that. I never did. But what he's doing this year with no running game and the fact that his offensive line is atrocious – I mean, look, the guy is single-handedly carrying that team on offense. And the defense, look, hasn't been as good, but they showed up the other night. That was a heck of a performance by the defense. I mean, he's still maddening to me, okay, when I watch him play. I mean, he leaves clean pockets. He doesn't let the offense progress. He doesn't go through his progressions enough. And maybe that's because he's taken so many shots behind that crappy offensive line. But when he gets outside the pocket and he keeps his head up and makes all those plays, it's magical. I mean, it is. It's magical when he does that. He's as good as – I mean, Fran Tarkenton, you guys might – you're not old enough, I don't think. Well, Brian Jones is, but you're not. But
You're right, sir.
I mean, he used to run around and make these amazing throws and just, things he didn't have to do, but he'd end up looking really like a talent when he was finished. That's what Russell Wilson does. He doesn't – it's almost like – remember back when Brett Favre used to do it. He didn't run the offense, but he made magical plays, and Holmgren used to go, what are you doing? Oh, great play. That's what Russell Wilson does, and that's why he's becoming a guy that everybody's raving about in the MVP, and he is in the race. I mean, no doubt about it. You can't give him the MVP right now over Brady, though. You just can't. Brady's got significantly better statistics across the board, and his team has a better record, so you got to give Brady the MVP right now.
The question of the last weeks have been about the NFC and the best team. I've heard that a million times, which one of these teams is the best out of this group. And I'm almost tired of asking the question to guests at this point, but I haven't heard your take on it. Out of that group of these good teams at the top of that conference, who do you like the most?
It's so hard to pick. I'm with you. It's hard to pick them. I mean, they're really all lumped in together, if you ask me. And they've kind of played each other a little bit. Minnesota beat the Rams. The Rams beat the Saints. Now the Eagles play the Rams out in L.A. I mean, it's hard to figure out which one is the best. We kind of sleep on the Vikings a little bit. And I'm as guilty as anybody. Because people don't want to give that quarterback credit. You talk about a quarterback, you know, we talk about Wilson being magical with the way he moves around and keeps his head up and makes plays. Case Keenum does a lot of the same things, and his offensive line's better, but he does a lot of the same things when he gets outside the pocket. So I think Minnesota's defense is really, really good, and the way he's playing with those receivers, with Diggs and Thielen outside, they might be the best team. They face a tough test this week at Carolina because you're playing consecutive road games outside the division. I always think that's tough to do. But if they win at Carolina this week, look out for the Vikings. They might be one of those teams that could actually play the Super Bowl, the first team to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium.
And they might not have to leave there because they're the one seed with the tiebreaker right now in the NFC. That would be unbelievable.
And you know what? Mike Zimmer's a coach. I've championed him for a long time as a guy who never got his chance in the NFL for whatever reasons. And, you know, you heard rumblings. He was gruff when he would go into interviews. He would tell the ownership what was bad with their team, and he was blunt about it, and they didn't want to hear that, and which is why he didn't get any jobs. And anybody, I don't know if you guys have ever been around Mike Zimmer. I mean, he will not hold back, which is why I'm one of those guys, too, so I always respected him and liked him. Look what he's doing with that team. I mean, you lose your quarterback last year, okay, your starting quarterback. Then you lose your starting quarterback this year. Last year he had all kinds of injuries. He loses his star rookie runner who was going to have a big year. And look where they are. I mean, Mike Zimmer right now might be the coach of the year in the National Football League. And I know a lot of people want to give it to McVay because he's done a wonderful job out there as well. But, man, he's doing a heck of a job in Minnesota.
No, I would agree with you. He's been outstanding. Let me ask you about your alma mater before we get you off the horn. What are your thoughts on Herm Edwards being the new head coach of the Sun Devils? I don't think he was aware that they're Devils.
Hmm. You know, by the way, if they were going to go to an NFL structure and become, which they're doing, and did you see that weird release that they sent out about
that? Yep.
You know, they should have hired me as the guy who would be the pseudo GM. And I would have found a way to get all those bags of money to the players they need to get in. Let's be real about it. Does it really matter who your head coach is if you don't get the players? It doesn't matter.
Right.
How do you get the players? Come on. You know how you get the players nowadays. Give me a break. Bottom line, I've told Ray, I love Ray Anderson. I've known him a long time. And I told Ray, every time I see Ray, I say, Ray, please start cheating like everybody else so you can win me a national championship in my lifetime. That's all I want.
And Ray said, what?
Well, no, first he was with Merton Hanks, and Merton Hanks looked at me and said, don't you appreciate him going to bowl games? I go, no, those things are exhibition games. I want to play for a national champion. I want to be in the Final Four one year. And Ray laughed when I told him that. You know, look, the bottom line is, I think Herm Edwards is an intriguing hire, but the structure, he might not go out and recruit.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be like, the CEO sitting in his office but not going out and doing the dirty work. How are you going to get players if you can't get your head coach out and do the actual recruiting? It makes no sense to me.
I'm with you.
Can't Mike Novell, you know this better than me, Brian, why can't Mike Novell get a job?
I don't know if he wanted – he was talked to, and I believe that's who Tennessee met in-house with. But he just received an extension from Memphis, and kudos to Memphis being able to hold on to a coach. That hasn't been the case here of late. Justin Fuentes, of course, went to Virginia Tech after having a successful season there. I'm sure he was in the running for a number of these. His name came up with the Arkansas opening as well as the Tennessee opening.
But he was the offensive coordinator in Arizona State.
Right.
And Graham was one of his vendors. Would that be like dancing on his grave if he took that job? I mean,
I don't know. But, you know, Ray Anderson wanted to hold on to Bill Napier, who was the current OC, and he also wanted to hang on to Phil Bennett.
Yeah, I know. Is that a good move? I mean, you're getting a head coach who's inheriting a staff. That's never a good situation.
That's never it. But Herm Edwards signed on for it, so he won't have to recruit.
I don't know. It's going to be – look, it's weird.
It is very weird.
How places like Auburn, Alabama, which is compared to Tempe as a hellhole, get players beyond, and ASU does not, is mystifying to me. I don't get it.
Mm. Well, maybe Herm will change that with his Catholic. He's a Catholic and a Christian.
Don't you look at Texas as the same way?
I'm with you. No, A-State, that's a great place. That's one of the number one party schools, you know, if that's a plus.
It's the biggest school in the country. It's the biggest school in the country now.
Yeah, right there with UCF, you're correct.
Yeah, why don't they? Maybe they need more alums given more money. You know,
why don't you plop down some cash?
Just don't call me.
Hey, Pete, thanks for the time, man. Take care.
See you guys.
All right. Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.